Now the details. Where exactly are the $38 billion in federal spending cuts coming from?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're finally getting the details of the cuts from this year's federal budget that helped avert a government shutdown last Friday. House lawmakers released the official plan last night. It'll be voted on before the end of the week. Some of the cuts are being called accounting tricks. Others are very real. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
Here are a few of the cuts we've heard about so far. The positions of White House czars of healthcare, climate change, autos, and urban affairs are all being eliminated. A program that helps the national parks buy land will survive, but it's losing $30 million in funding. The EPA and the National Institutes of Health are in similar situations. Mark Vitner is an economist at Wells Fargo. Even though the cuts are relatively small, he says they'll represent a major shift for the economy.
Clearly, government spending is going to be a drag on growth over the next couple of years, and that marks a change because the last couple of years, government spending has been a bit of a tailwind.
He says no one area of cuts stands out as hurting the economy, but he says there could be some regional fallout, particularly in places like Washington, D.C., where the local economy's been unusually strong lately. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
In about a half hour, we'll find out what the U.S. trade deficit was in February. The expectation is we bought about $44 billion more than we sold to other countries. President Obama is trying to shrink that number by boosting exports with more free trade. He's waiting on Congress to approve free trade deals with Colombia, South Korea, and Panama. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The pending agreement with Colombia has been holding things up. Colombia has a record of violence against union organizers, but last week Colombia agreed to prosecute cases of violence. But economist Robert Scott of the Economic Policy Institute says the U.S. should hold off on ratification to make sure Colombia delivers on its promises.
I'm very, very skeptical about the Colombian agreement. Colombia saw 51 labor leaders killed last year, so this is an ongoing problem.
But Peterson Institute economist Gary Hofbauer says President Obama needs Congress to ratify all three trade deals soon so he can keep his pledge to increase U.S. exports. Hofbauer says the deals would boost the export of U.S. services like hospital management and accounting.
The potential for exporting services over the next 20 years is enormous. It could conceivably exceed our manufacturers' exports.
Congressional Republicans want the president to send them all three trade agreements by July 1st. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down around the world right now, about 1% lower in London. Aluminum maker Alcoa kicked off corporate earnings season yesterday with a quarterly profit, thanks to higher aluminum prices. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added just 1 point to close at 12,381.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Marketplace Innovations Desk is supported by Jaguar. You can experience the 2011 Jaguar XJ at a local dealer or visit JaguarUSA.com.
Texas is in the middle of the worst drought since the 1960s, and now forecasters are expecting less than average rainfall over the next 3 months. Officials say two-thirds of the wheat fields in Texas are in poor condition, and the drought has almost doubled global wheat prices in the past year. This is yet another reminder of just how much we rely on water. And we're going to talk about that now with journalist Charles Fishman. He's just written a book about water called The Big Thirst, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So you say we're on the verge of a modern water revolution. Tell us what you mean by that.
We're at the end of the golden age of water in the developed world, as I think of it, water that has been unlimited and essentially free. We will start using the right water for the right price and the right purpose. We won't clean water to drinking water standards and then flush our toilets with it or water our lawns with it.
Well, we may think that the water is free, but as you write, there have been many cases when the water has almost run out in big areas, and there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on to try to get water to the people, which is anything but free.
Barcelona, Spain, came so close to running out of water a couple years ago that they actually tried to bring water in by ship. The first ship supplied 32 minutes of water, and the second ship supplied 62 minutes of water. So you have to think long term. We're very touchy about reusing wastewater, and I think we need to sort of think differently about that. All the water on Earth has been through a dinosaur kidney. Every bottle of Evian you drink from is Tyrannosaurus Rex P. All the water on Earth has been here for 4.5 billion years. It's all toilet to tap at some level.
Let's talk about a place that, if you really think about it, shouldn't exist because of the lack of water, and that is Las Vegas. How bad are things for Vegas when it comes to water?
Well, Las Vegas relies for almost all its water on Lake Mead.
Right.
And Lake Mead is more than half empty. Hmm. So Las Vegas is watching its water supply disappear. At the same time, despite the fountains and the lagoons, Las Vegas is actually one of the most water-smart cities in the country. The city as a whole today uses exactly the same amount of water as it used 10 years ago, even though the population has increased by 50%.
After spending so much time studying water, tell us what you think the number one thing that needs to be done in this country is to secure our water future.
Well, this is a little hard to quantify, but I think the number one thing people need to do is pay a little more attention to water. Most of us have no idea where our actual water comes from, what's required to get it to us. It would be okay to appreciate the water a little more.
Charles Fishman, author of a fascinating new book called The Big Thirst. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
And as you head out to get your Dasani or Evian today, consider this fact from Charles Fishman's book. Americans spend about $21 billion a year on bottled water. That's almost as much as we spend to maintain our entire drinking water system. There are a whole lot more facts at our Big Book blog at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There have been farm subsidies in Europe since the Second World War ended. The fighting over them, though, that's just beginning.
They don't realize that a lot of the money is going to people who are really wealthy, wealthier than them.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the politics of European economics and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.